Always grateful for an opportunity to come before you and share a few words from the scripture. We are keeping in the theme for this month of wind. That's actually a theme this month. Very apropos theme. And I've always shared how intrigued I am by these our theme cards that Jeff prepares and the focus it allows us on our studies. And today will be no different. I will be talking on the topic of wind chasers. I set this up a little bit on Wednesday when I talked about the nature of wind and compared that to the nature of humanity and how the two characteristics are similar, and it'll be helpful as we go through this lesson this morning. I want to thank Cesar for the scripture reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And certainly Jeff for the song selection, very appropriate for the lesson today. Exactly as man is born, thus he will die. So what is the advantage of him who toils for the wind? What is the advantage for him who toils for the wind? This morning I'd like to talk about the problem we have with toiling for the wind, how and why we inherit the wind's emptiness, and what we can do about it. More of what we can do about it will probably be discussed this evening if the weather permits, but I want to focus this morning on how it is we actually inherit the wind's emptiness. The problem is that humanity becomes wind chasers. The writer of Ecclesiastes teaches what is to gain, for there is toiling after the wind. We cannot grasp it. We talked about the nature of wind. It can't be grasped. It can't be stored. It can't be controlled. It can't be possessed or understood in some cases, yes? Yet people often spend their lives pursuing things that ultimately slip through their fingers. For the sake of this study, we'll call such people as wind chasers. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, let's look at verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 14, it teaches, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is interesting is verse 14 tells us, did I write the wrong scripture down for that one? My first scripture, and I have the wrong point. 14. Let's look at 17. Let me make sure I'm reading the whole thing here. I might have to read it all. I'm going to read further. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and the heart has great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after the wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. I'm like, that does not, it's 2:16? Oh, okay. I was like, that doesn't look like what I studied at all. But let's look at it. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, there it is. For the wise, okay, for Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I don't know what I put in my notes that way. Okay. Ecclesiastes 2:16, for the wise, for of the wise as of the fools there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten, how the wise dies just like the fool. Thank you, Jeff. And so sometimes we're chasing after wisdom, we're chasing after knowledge, believing that makes us better than the fool, and certainly does make you better than chasing foolishness. But in the end, we're all going to die. Both the wise and the fool will die. So it behooves us to have more of a purpose than just to gain the wisdom. Certainly more of a purpose than living foolishly. We'll talk a little bit about that, a little more about that. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 1 and read on down to verse 17. So, I hated life, the preacher says here. I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after the wind. You ever say to yourself, what's it all for? Okay, well, let me make this more relatable because I've got some glazed eyes over there. Anybody wake up on a Monday, have to go to work? Okay, there we go. Now I got you back. Now what about health? Mondays, right? What is it all for? I'm going to work and I'm trying to live my life and I'm so tired. And then we start with the feeling that this preacher is having in this scripture. What's it all for? He communicates his frustrations with life and all this pursuit. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 29, and understand a little more the attitude and mindset of the wind chasers. Why am I going forward? Proverbs. Let's look at 11 and verse 29. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. You know, this scripture, even in Ecclesiastes, is really talking about ill gain, you know, or those who are seeking or striving after money and wealth. And the idea that you'll bring trouble to your household if that's your agenda. And I like this little turn of phrase or like a little play with words here. It says, whoever troubles his own household, meaning pursuing greed, will inherit the wind. And it's the idea of emptiness or this plight of the wind chaser. So what is all of this about? A life that is disconnected. And I'm looking for maybe a stronger word. A life that is disengaged. One that is cut off. One that is distant or divided from God often produces activity without lasting substance. The question is, how do we get so disconnected? How do we get to a point where we're cut off or distant or divided in our relationship with God? Well, there are a couple of things that I'd like to put on your hearts this morning as it relates to that question. First and foremost, we can find ourselves distant or disconnected from God just by our own thoughts, by our own emotions and intentions. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. This is about our mind. How important it is for us to watch how we think. And it's such a shame that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy for how we think about things that can actually cause a distance or a divide or a cutoff from our Creator. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17. I often pray, especially when I'm bringing a lesson to a setting like this, because I know that there's a variety of spiritual maturity out there. And it can be a little bit intimidating if I had to think about it from that perspective. So I try not to. I go in prayer before I do a lesson, praying that I get an understanding so that I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. Because as I'm going through the lesson, it's teaching me. I am learning from those from the very lesson that I've put together in an outline, so it teaches me. And I mention that because that's also a part of what we do when we guard our hearts. Because sometimes we can go through Scripture with deception and a misunderstanding of what God's will is. Jeremiah chapter 17, let's look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We cannot rely on our emotions. We cannot rely on our feelings. We live in a world today, and it was interesting, we talked about this a little bit in our Bible class, where whole religions are dependent upon you feeling instead of knowing the truth. Well, how does the truth feel to you? Did it inspire you? Did you get excited about it? Or was that preacher just kind of boring? It's the same old, same old. And from that, people, you know, they're emotionally driven around the way they want to worship God. They want to worship Him with emotionally driven motives or intentions. And that is a deceitful thing. The Bible teaches us not to rely on our feelings, because that is a sure way to have disconnect or being cut off or to be divided from God. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Well, there's a word we don't like very much, do we? Is that word listens in there? Is it in your scripture? Or is it seek? Is a different translation? Does it say seek counsel for some? You mean to tell me I have to actually listen to advice? That phrase alone teaches, does it not? But for our thoughts, our emotions, and our intentions, we have a hard time doing this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man who listens to counsel, some translations. What keeps us from doing that? We have an unrestrained inner life focus. I, me, and mine. That focus doesn't lead you well to listen to advice. We can be very proud of how we think. We guard it. For some, we reinforce it through degrees and education. We reinforce it through experiences. The challenge with that is, how is it glorifying God? How is how you're thinking glorifying God? When that's strained, are you seeking counsel? Because this is a lot of information in here. And you can best believe even Jeff seeks counsel in trying to understand the Word of God. And even with his knowledge that he has to seek counsel. So it goes for the wind chaser, doesn't have time for that. The wind chaser relies on his own thoughts, his own emotions, and his own intentions. The unrestrained inner life can produce pride, envy, restless ambition, and a self-centered focus or self-centered desires. These can drive a person to pursue goals that ultimately have no eternal weight. Rather, we must learn to discipline the inner man and ask yourself, what is your why? I ask this to my team at work. I never have a chance to do a one-on-one or a coaching session. Now, a wise leader would know what a person's why is, but I'll ask them that sometimes. What is your why? And when they say, well, what do you mean by that? So, well, why do you come to work? Well, I need money. So there's a good motivation right there. I always know the ones that are focused on with a question. Why? Because I'm scheduled to. That's not enough. What if they're, as there's, why? I go, well, why do you come to church? Well, because I don't want anybody looking for me. I'll come because I'm supposed to be there. Because, I don't know, Ryan's taking attendance and I don't want to get a tick mark for not being there, so I show up. Well, that's not enough of a, that why is flawed. If why you're here is to show face to us, and that's your motivation, you're causing a disconnect with God. It's not enough. Ask yourself, what is your why? What is your purpose? And ask yourself, how does either benefit others or bring glory to God? When you can answer and align your question as to your purpose, your question as to your why, you can align that with God, you'll do better to have a goal in life with eternal weight for how and why you do the things you do. Another way, another reason, an answer to this question, how we inherit the world's emptiness is through our freedom of will and internal impulses. What's very interesting about us as a country in the United States, this is just an aside. My fellow brothers and sisters know me to say, this is free, I'm not going to charge you for this perspective. But we live in a very unique governmental structure here in America. One of which I dare say has bastardized the expression or the definition of freedom into something it was never intended to be. And as the result of that, we have a whole society of people who are entitled about their freedom. We have people now who hate the country that it's being experimented on. When I think about this mass migration we have of all the people around the world who are trying to come into the United States, even with all the wars that are happening and that are popping up as a result of this latest conflict that's happening in Iran and all these things, there are still millions of people who want to come here and experience the experiment that is the freedom of America. There are more people, consider this, everybody loves America, but Americans. That's a free one. I'm not going to charge you for that. Why is that? Because we grew up in it. We grew up in this society. We grew up in this experiment. We grew up with a freedom of will and an entitlement to it that makes us believe it's due us. That is emptiness. It is emptiness to have such a freedom and not appreciate it. It's emptiness to have it and expect it to always be there. Let's look at Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Children of Israel had something special. Because before what I'm about to read to you, they were imprisoned in Egypt. They were slaves. But because of God and Moses, God's people leader, they had freedom. And in verse 14, it says, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would we have, or that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" In other words, we're going to fire Moses and we're going to go back to Egypt. Their thoughts, their emotions all got caught up with them. They didn't have patience. They didn't have an appreciation, not alone patience, appreciation for God and his promise to, one, get them out of slavery, which he did, and to bring them into the land of milk and honey, which eventually he would do, but not without disciplining this attitude, this mindset, this wind chaser's attitude, filled with fear. They had something special in God. They had freedom from the rule of the Egyptians. Yet they complained in the wilderness shortly after fleeing Egypt, the Israelites. They grumbled against Moses and God because they were hungry, they were thirsty, and they were tired. They frequently romanticized their time in Egypt, remembering the food they ate while forgetting the brutal oppression that they endured as slaves. And this is a question for my brothers and sisters in Christ. You ever have a hard time and wonder, well, why am I doing this Christian thing if I still gotta struggle to put ends together? Why am I doing this Christian thing now? Gas prices are, look at this. I can't, you know, what is this? What are we doing? Why, if I'm a Christian, do I have to get up every morning and go to work? Why the things that we complain about? Why do I have to earn a living? Why doesn't God just give me manna from above? We want it easy without the work in life. And God tell us that's emptiness. That attitude is emptiness. God gave humanity a choice. Let's look at Joshua chapter 24. Let's get back on topic of the freedom. That was a little sidebar. Joshua 24, verse 15. I'm all the way thinking Jeremiah. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is something we ought to do with the freedom of will God gives us. God would have us choose to serve Him. God would have us choose to align our purpose, our reason for existing around Him. This scripture reminds us to choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. That's different than serving yourself. That's different than even serving your country and its freedom of expression or freedom of will. Because we have seen people use that expression to do very evil things in this country. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians 5:17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. We had a question this morning in our Bible class. What does it mean to live by the flesh versus living by the Spirit? And some interesting answers. But I like how Jeff was teaching and bringing that to bear and helping us understand the broader implications of that. To live for or by the flesh is to really preoccupy yourself, make part of your being and your existence the things of this world and its pursuits, its acquisition, its understanding, the things of this world versus the things of God. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, for the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity. You know, just let's stop there. Sexual immorality. For the freedom of will in this country, it is lawful to have and exercise sexual immorality. If you go by the laws of this land and a lot of things that they're trying to protect. There are some efforts that are being done to right that wrong and at least protect our little ones from going the modus of operandi of this, the homosexual community and what they want to do to change the gender. You know, you got gender dysphoria and words like this we've never had to use before. There's an effort that is being done now to try to fix that, but whether they get it right or wrong doesn't change what we need to do as Christians. Our attitude ought to be, what is God pleased with? What would God have me do with my freedom? of will and choice. He would have us serve him. And I guess the most important thing that the wind chaser misses is the fact that they are chasing after things that are not pleasing to God. Freedom without guidance often leads to self-indulgence, impulsive living, and short-term satisfaction. As a result, our freedom and impulse is often effort poured into things that do not last. Another way we inherit the wind's emptiness is through our own human experiences. You know, life itself can shape our pursuits. And dare I say, they even cause a little bit of a is the word dopamine hit in our head space and the way we feel? Think about when you've had a success in life. Think about moments where you have had even failure or pain. Think about your life compared to others. These experiences can redirect our priorities toward temporary achievements. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Go back to that again. I probably should have had you put your bookmarker there. But this time we'll go to chapter 1. In verse 14, it says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun. That's a lot of experience. Everything done under the sun? Everything done under the sun, the scripture teaches. Well, most people will hear just that. We'll just stop there. Can you imagine doing everything under the sun? You definitely write a book. There are some people who've written books for all the different, excursions, sabbaticals, or different things that they've done, very excited about their life and its experiences. He says, hey, I've done everything under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. Why? Do you know, think about all the stuff that we could do just in America, let alone travel and see them different things. Why would it be vanity? Because experience alone does not produce wisdom. And even that, if it's not aligned with God's will, is emptiness. We have to be convinced of that because we get dopamine hits every time we have an experience of some kind. And then our emotions get involved and we get excited and we think this has got to be the best thing ever. And then we get distracted toward temporary achievements in those moments. Experience alone does not produce wisdom. Experience filtered through God does. And we have to be willing to keep that before us because there are a lot of shiny objects out there. Ooh, ooh. Have you ever been on vacation where you've been to the Grand Canyon, you got your camera out? Ooh. And the last focus in the lesson will be yours on how we inherit wind's emptiness through our very breath, inner life, and consciousness. Look at James chapter 4. And I hope I'm saying this word right. In Hebrew, the word hebel, is that the word I'm thinking? It's H-E-B-E-L. And that's in Ecclesiastes. It means vapor or breath, mist. Can you imagine that your life is but a vapor? Yeah, even with all that you put into it, all that you've built to create it, it's but a vapor. Even Brother Singleton, who's experiencing a birthday today. Is it 95 today? 94? I'm rounding up for you. He says, 94 years old today. Can you imagine that 94 years old of worth, 94 years worth of living, it's still but a vapor? We should be so lucky. We should be so blessed. Life is fragile. It is fleeting. Human life is but a breath and a vapor. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what is your life. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You know, now I don't understand why the preacher says, what is it all for? Makes you think about time and how you spend it. Makes you think about your thoughts and the things you think about. Genesis chapter 2 and 7, God breathed life into man. And I think I put that there for perspective on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. We won't have to read Genesis 2 and 7. That's a level set for accountability. Not only do we get distracted by the fact that life is but a vapor, because we can't even imagine that, and that's because we don't have the mind of God. We have our selfish mind, and we make a lot about our lives and all that we've done to build it and where we are year to date and what we've been able to accomplish and all of this. And sometimes we, due to shiny objects and all those different things that God has even provided here on this earth, we get distracted. Ooh, piece of candy. And we get distracted and get off the path of putting God first in our lives. But it's still our life, and it's not worthless. Because to read the fact that life is but a breath, a mist, a vapor, seems very minuscule. But as long as God gave you life, it's not. There is something that we are to be accountable for in our lives than chasing after wind. There is something that we need to be doing with our lives so that we can be accountable to our Creator who gave us breath. And so, Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Why? Well, He gave you life. What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to take a bunch of pictures of all the awesome things that He has created? Is that going to give you life? Is that going to be enough? Can you, and I take a lot of pictures, can you imagine, can you see me going up to heaven and be, oh God, and I'm going through my phone showing God all my pictures of my plants? and all the beautiful things. Think, oh, God, you just, God, you've got to see this. This is great. All the, and those with grandkids, Lindy, just throwing, oh, God, thank you for the blessing. You got to see this one. What's God going to be concerned with? Did you keep your light shining? Did you do something with the breath I gave you? And yes, the grandchildren. Did you teach them? Did you teach them that to live for me is to gain? Did you help them know that the priority for their life and living is for me? Do not be conformed to this world, i.e. living for the flesh. The Bible teaches us, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Well, how am I doing that? Well, you're not putting God first. Well, then who else am I? If you're not putting God first, you're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. You're forgetting who gave you breath. You're forgetting your purpose. You're forgetting your why. You're chasing wind. Our very existence is temporary, and without God, our pursuits become just as temporary. So in closing, they say, prove it. Look, I'm closing the button. Look. What does wind chasing look like today? It looks like pursuing wealth as an ultimate meaning for your life. I read something in my studies. Fearful greed came across my eyes. I mean, I can't think of the scripture now. Fearful greed. And I thought, what does that mean? And I started studying, and you know, and Jeff can tell you how you study and you reference the scripture, and you reference, next thing you know, you got a whole nother sermon. So I had to stop, or y'all wouldn't have got out of here this morning. The idea of fearful, you know, I have to have all these things. I need this and I need this and I need money and I've got to have it to feel at ease, feel comfortable, feel at peace. There are people in life have fearful greed. They don't have a certain amount of money. They are afraid. Your confidence is in the wrong things. Building identity on career or reputation. How people see you, or at least how you want them to see you. Not maybe how you are, but how you want them to see you. I want to have this title so you can see me this way. You are chasing wind. Endless entertainment. I talk about the dopamine hits. That goes back to that lesson Jeff taught us about scrolling. I now put my phone in another room before I go to bed. That one hit me hard. I was like, I don't think, it's just the phone. Oh, really? And I look back and it's 2 hours later and it's still just the phone and me scrolling in it. What could I have done with those 2 hours? And that's modest. Social comparison and Validation. The media is making everybody crazy for this one. Chasing the wind. Oh, that is nice. I like what they're wearing right there. I'm buying that. I want to look just like that person, that influencer. Oh, the words. I got rid of all of my subscriptions. Why is that influencing me? Achievements without spiritual purpose. So then what is your purpose? If you're achieving without a spiritual purpose, it will not have lasting effects. I have my degrees, I have my certificates and all these things, and I have all this stuff, and I don't put them on the wall at work. People were wondering, why don't you put your degree on the wall, and why don't you have like an achievement wall? They call it an achievement wall. Why? What's that for? What's that going to do? It was a moment in time. That was a vapor. How long ago since I got that degree? And what's that going to do with you? You're going to look at that degree and decide how you're going to treat me because I got that? Listen, the people that give me respect at work is because I'm respectful in my engagement with them. And I think about God that I serve. I work for the Lord. That's going to give me so much more than any degree ever did, any certificate ever would. And then they're wondering, why are you a good boss? You're really a good boss. Well, my boss is a good boss. I have an accountability here. None of these are evil within themselves. But when they become the ultimate, they become chasing after wind. I hope this lesson encouraged you. This evening we'll talk about why. Why we do these things and what we can do to sort of right the wrong or get better alignment around God if the wind is permitting. Wasn't a lesson necessarily to encourage you to become a Christian, but maybe it was. Maybe you've been chasing the wind. Maybe you've been living a life with less than purpose, meaning not aligned with God's will, not aligned with the God who gave you breath. Because if that's you, stop wasting your breath. Give God the glory for the life you're living. Be a living sacrifice that's pleasing to Him so He can be glorified in your life here on earth, and you can do better than scrolling through all the experiences He gave you that would distract you from it in heaven. If you're subject to the invitation, please come together while we stand and sing the song, Sin Selected.